Yeah. So anyway. Okay, so you ready? This is a reconvening of our special meeting that started on November 10th and has been recessed and reconvened several times. So now we are in open session, and today we're properly reviewing the evaluation for our two general managers. We're going to start with John Beneventi, and then we'll proceed with Miguel Bordalo after that. Okay? And it's an open session. So, John, what we do...
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, right, because of my obvious conflict of interest with Mr. Miguel Bordalo, who's my brother-in-law, I will be recusing myself from that particular evaluation.
Okay.
And I want the board to recognize that.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's perfect. All right. Commissioner Michalpo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, in regards to potential conflicts or conflicts of interest, I've identified Chapter 15, the Standard of Conduct for Elected Officers, Appointed Officers, and Public Employees of the Government of Guam. And per Chapter 15, conflicts of interest are defined by no employee shall take any official action directly affecting business or other undertaking in which the employee has a financial interest. And financial interest is defined as the following in Section F. Financial interest means an interest held by an individual, his or her spouse, natural, adopted, or dependent children, parents, parents-in-law, siblings, or siblings-in-law, in which is an ownership interest in a business, a creditor interest in an insolvent business, an employment or prospective employment for which negotiations have begun, an ownership interest in personal or real property, a loan or other debtor interest, or a directorship or officership in a business. And my spouse, Tracy Limpiaco, is an employee of GTA, which falls under the direct management of John Benventi, the general manager of GTA, who we are evaluating today. So I want to identify that how I evaluate the general manager could have an impact on how my spouse is eventually evaluated. So I believe that there's a conflict here. I want to disclose it to the commission. And I also want to point out that Section G of the law requires me to do such, that I shall verbally disclose at the meeting, if any, the nature of such interest, and shall have such disclosure placed in the official records of the agency. So I'm doing that in official capacity, and I will be recusing myself during the evaluation of John Beneventi. However, I do want to say for the record, Mr. Chair, that I believe that these evaluations are one of the most important things that we should be doing as a commission. I'm very disappointed that I couldn't participate in the evaluation. I feel that I could be impartial, and regardless of how I would evaluate the general manager, I would make it, I think it would be important that he perform his duties as a general manager and evaluate all his subordinates accordingly, regardless of any influence that any of the commissioners would have. However, there is a clear conflict, and I will recuse myself.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just for the record, I'd like to state that I absolutely have no conflicts of interest at all, either with GPA or GWA,
okay, that's fine.
In any way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Commissioner Minchoco,
thank you.
I agree, I have full confidence in you, but thank you for making sure that we follow the law. Yes,
score sheet.
What?
Trying to figure out how to use the score sheet.
You would just, I'll email it to you, or I'll email it to them.
Yeah, that's right. He's my squad. You're very important here.
Well, I'm wondering, can he at least tabulate? There's no conflict.
No.
Tabulate our
scores.
I think we can give it to him, right?
Remember how we do it. We go around the room.
Right.
And when we get to Mr. Limpiaco, he says, I have no, I'm conflicted, but he can tabulate our scores. I mean, I don't think that's a conflict.
So, Mr. Chair, in reference to the request for me to participate in the tabulation of it, Section G of Chapter 15 does say that all employees is defined in this section, and an employee is defined as an elected official in this section who know or with reasonable investigation should know that the employee has a financial interest in any decision pending before that employee or the agency of which the employee is a member shall not vote for or against, discuss, decide, in any way participate in considering the matter, or seek to influence the votes or decisions of others on such matter. So I believe that we should, my participation should not, I should not participate in that.
Yes, at all.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I agree.
We'll figure
and I thank you for that.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Thank you.
You want to, you're going to figure it out?
We'll figure it out. We'll
okay,
figure
no problem. Thank you very much.
I'm going to be in the conference room.
Sure, sure. Okay. And also, for the record, I'd like Commissioner Santos, that same definition of financial interest where it says sibling in laws,
yeah,
that covers you. And so therefore, I see the same conflict you have with regard to
that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay,
thank
that's
you.
For the record.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, John, you're up. I'm going to have you give us a little presentation, John.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to go ahead and sort of share with you the presentation to the Amante, which actually reflects on the our information that are related to the APIs and all the, you know, all the scoring, and see all the scoring criteria within the area. So,
do we want to talk about it and refer to it? That way we're going down the score sheet as opposed to retracting. You understand what I'm trying to say, colleagues? Is, for example, if we're going to start at 1.1, right?
Yeah.
John, did you follow how this is set up here, for example?
Yeah.
Under PowerPoint, or is it all over the place?
I think it's pretty much structured, but I think almost every aspect of what I'm showing is really has a part in sections.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. So let me share what we did, right? Yeah. So. For the past interviews is that, for example, on 1.1, just so you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to ask you to describe maintain reliability in the item-wide PAR system, right? Mm-hmm. So then we go down to 1.1.1, and then we just start scoring you each time.
We ask you this, okay.
Right.
Give us your score.
And then the other thing, if you want to do it, Simon, is to describe to them the levels of
the
scoring,
rating,
right? 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Yeah. So go ahead. You can do
okay.
That.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is thank you, Mr. Chairman and colleagues. I'll do my best here. So this is we have developed a rating system for our seven employees. The two general managers are required by law to be evaluated in public, and that is what we're conducting today. The general manager of the Guam Power Authority is going to be rated on a rating scale of 1 to 5. 5 is significantly exceeds expectations. 4 is it exceeds expectations. A score of 3 meets expectations, satisfactory. A score of 2 inconsistently meets expectations, marginal. Or 1 fails to meet expectations, unsatisfactory. And in practice, sometimes you can be rated a 3.5 or 2.8. You know, it's up to the individual commissioner. But these are sort of the range of scores that you can achieve. To achieve a 5 significantly exceeds expectations and outstanding, a commissioner or the applicant or the evaluee has to provide a very specific example of outstanding or significantly exceeding expectations. So we have a score range of between 1 and 5 that will be used to evaluate your performance. And then we look at these areas of your performance, managing operations. You'll be rated in a number of subcategories there, and the score for that category will represent 30% of your total score. Managing finance, the score in that section will be 15% of your total evaluation score. Managing people will also be 15% of your total evaluation score. And managing information will also be 10% of your total score. And with that, we would then go down section by section, beginning with managing operations. So, John, in the spirit of Commissioner Santos's question, which is perhaps in this section, just talk about the Island Light Power System, right?
Yeah. I think, if I may, I think the presentation itself constitutes every area, because you can't really evaluate, I'm not just responsible for engineering, you know? I'm responsible for the whole system. And so therefore, the success and the failures of the whole system is really how it applies. So I don't mind our system, you have generation, heat, and everything, what are the impacts just overall? So I can talk about, we have reliability and all of that, but I think the presentation itself highlights the, and puts credence or failure to this area. So by going through the presentation, then afterwards we can actually pick out particular ones of it, to support the different areas of the thing.
Neither approach is wrong. I mean, these are both good. I just find it maybe easier for the commission that section one is managing operations, and the first five sections of section one is maintaining reliability of the island-wide power system. Could you pull from your presentation? We would put your whole presentation, as we've done for other colleagues. We put the whole thing in your file, right? And that'll be available. All of this is available to the public, right, as required by law. But for example, you don't need to talk about finances in section 1.1 through 1.1.5. It's all about operations. So I think what Commissioner Santos was suggesting is it helps us to say, all right, John, you have your complete presentation, but let's focus on, can you pull out of your presentation, talk about how you handle the operations of the island-wide power system, and you know your presentation well enough. You can say turn to page 3, turn to page 5. Would you be able to do it that way?
I don't think so, Mr. Chair. Not efficiently. I'm just saying the presentation, and again, I can sorry as I go through it, I can say okay, this applies to operation access. Again, it's not just the reliability to data we're talking about. When you talk about the GM, you're talking about also the planning and future reliability and everything of the system. So they all have some part in this. And what they have done, because what they have done for this particular, in this particular year is really going to come to fruition in 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
So that's all important to do that. Huh?
Okay, nice example.
I think we need to also remind the GM that we're looking at FY 19 and 20, right?
Right.
That's been...
And 18, I believe, right? 18.
I think this, we only listed...
I thought it was 18, 19, 20. I thought it was the last 3 years.
Yeah, there is a period. We didn't put it.
For the other managers.
For the record, right.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, I could be wrong, but I thought for the other managers it was 18.
Somewhere only
18, 19,
19,
and 20.
Somewhere
right.
19 and 20. So somewhere 19 and 20. But we haven't put the evaluation period.
We need to put it in there.
So we can put in FY 18.
FY 19 and FY 20.
19. And
John, does your presentation go back to the last three fiscal years?
If I can explain myself.
Yes.
The evaluation data myself was 2018, right?
Right.
And then that became an issue, and all of that became null and void.
Right.
So in effect, really, it's kind of null and void. So my presentation is really from the time you made me general manager, which is 2015,
right.
To date.
No?
Okay. So
that's
the thing. It's all together and completed as one analysis, be it as it may, And
John, I don't have a problem with this presentation. This is very good and will certainly be part of the evaluation. But here's the thing. We are challenged by being as objective as possible rather than subjective, and therefore what we've done, what we would like to do is have you rate yourself on each one of these blocks, and then we would discuss our rating. Go ahead.
And again, objectively, to relate all of this, right, we have to say in the beginning, I'm just going to rate you on whether, to be objective, not subjective, but objective, right? Under which you, if the power plant availability were all about 80%, then you're good enough. But that's not the case, man, with all this. I have proof of what we have done. Uh-huh. It's just that it wasn't, it's not a specific metric or whatever that we kind of set up in the beginning, no, to make everybody get back in the city.
Okay.
So that's why I cannot have the concept of what I'm doing. Otherwise, it's very difficult to go back and reconstruct all of these things.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I really would recommend. I'd like to hear the presentation, and then when he finishes the presentation, we can go through this format with him and ask him to comment on each standard.
Which may apply to the presentation.
Correct.
We can do it that way. Go ahead, John. Go ahead. Do the presentation.
Yes, please proceed with your presentation.
Yeah.
It won't take longer.
Sure.
Again, you know, what's driving the office, you know, the GM and all that's really the strategic plan that was put together, and also the fact that the integrated resource plan. This is the planning of where the utility is going to go with, you know, moving forward. Right? And then every year you have some objectives of going to make that happen. So again, that plan was developed into 2009, and that's been kind of updated throughout the years somewhat. The integrated resource plan of 2016. And again, it's about idealizing safe financial strength, employee effectiveness, and safe and reliable operations. No? Yes. All of that, all of these KPIs were established. And again, sustained customer improvement, provide affordable and valued products, develop sustainable workforce, achieve system reliability and effective use of technology. But again, the metric here is that green is what you call it, exceeds, yellow is meeting target under this one, and then here under the trend, yellow is kind of it's on its way, trending up, green is trending upward, improving, and of course, red in any one of this is not of any particular good. Next. So again, looking back at the integrated resource plan, increasing fuel diversity, again, going towards solar and renewables, and looking towards LNG. We've been working on this over the past several years, complying with EPA, again, the consent decree, that's how the petition over the years we are always under subjected to huge penalties. The DOT build-up, again, it's on its way. We build a transmission line up to the system now. No issues about whether we can meet the DOT build-up and the states that are in build-up. Looking at the retirement of the units, and again, we've done that. A life extension report was done, but also more recently, where we're going to keep after we get the new power plant. Reduce customer outages, again, this is an issue that we're looking at. This is where you see the customer outages is still a concern of ours today until we can get the 40 megawatt of energy storage batteries on the line, because most of the outages you see today are generation related. When the power plant trips, it's nothing. But the one thing we can say is that since 2013 or 15, there hasn't been a blackout. And I have to knock on wood, and that's because we were able to now work within this system, no? So we can get there. Next. Procuring additional 40 megawatts, that's on its way, and the open process is going through, you know, the OPA, it went through the OPA. The OPA's decision was in our favor, but now it's at the Superior Court. Vice Mac compliance, again, that's done from the consent decree and moving forward. So again, these are all the different scenarios that are related to the integrated resort that have been worked on throughout this period of time to have heading towards reliable power and fuel diversity. Transparency and accuracy, again, these are the things that have been done in terms of the of the organization, good state giving statements, a newsletter, redesigning the statement, completion of the CCEMD, which allow both utilities to work together at the same time, allows customers to monitor their consumption of energy. These are a lot of the benefits that we provided to the customer now to improve how they use their energy, website, monthly newsletters, and all. Accounting services, again, we are paid by phone, email, social media. Every year we're getting about 600 new customers. I'm not sure we're constantly keeping them on track and keeping turning them on. There's not been a problem in that. CCMB with the GPA and GWA, sometime soon, I hope maybe 2021, you have that one customer service working for both. No? Next. Convenience, again, there's many things that were provided to the customer over these years. To allow them, to pay their services or to communicate with us, pay by phone, the apps, mobile apps, incentives provided to the customers. Rebates from the DSM, we started it with 2015 or so, very slowly. Now it's gotten, it must move now to a very beneficial program that we're going to push out about $3 billion a year. DSM funding of 1.5 every 6 months equates to $2 billion a year. Strengthening the IMY power system, again, we completed a new SCADA system, upgraded it, located in this location, which is Homeland Security scenario. Continued changing of the wooden poles, continued hybrid systems, on the underground systems. Most of these projects were completed or reconstructed. Some of these projects were the old underground direct railroads that we've been upgrading as necessary, as we move along. And again, we encourage and it's finally in production, underground 34 high transmission line from Harmon all the way to Anderson. This is part of the plan that would allow them to run during a storm. They have an underground system within the base. After the campus resiliency of the system, after the campus explosion, we did a lot of things, which resulted in less than 1% of the customers affected by any rolling blackouts during this period. We did all of this, and again, each one in particular has all its challenges, but it was accomplished. And they will continue to overhaul the unit because we have a lower reserve for the period, but yet even maintaining the units and the availabilities have been high and able to sustain the energy without any load shedding. The outages occurring are short, intermittent outages, but not rolling load shedding like the unit. Asset planning, again, these are improvements that are occurring that are not necessarily in the front line. GIS, information being zero, the one GIS system, workforce management, vehicle equipment tracking, predictive maintenance, where we try to find out what will fail ahead of time so we can fix it. Storm readiness, we had several storms. We recovered. Reimbursements, we got reimbursements from FEMA for those storms. These were the two Typhoon Dalton and Typhoon Mangkhut. We got about 6 to 9 million. The underground system, we continue to move forward, kind of underground the entire Tumon area so that they could run through a storm or after a storm. This is a revenue protection in the area. Our inventory prominent and more the fleet has been, we've been buying a lot of new equipment, so therefore see the environment, the way that gives the word requirements, the Houston technology, eliminating 17 billion gallons a year. And again, this is the ones that are coming up within the next 3 years. Fuel diversity, also solar for diesel, potentially natural gas, solar PV, will be eliminating all of the RFO. Achieving a 25% renewable by about 2023, and then hit the UC in this coming year, moving the plan to move towards 50% renewable no later than 2035. The new underground system, 120 megawatts of solar PV were contracted in 2018. And again, that will be coming on the line around 2032-2033 at 8.5 cents a kilowatt hour. That's over $9 million a year savings in energy costs. And then base fee, again, that was 11 cents. That's going to save about $5 million a year. And again, we're ahead of our timelines, but uncertainly, when we talk about lower energy costs for the consumer, all of this is heading to that point, so that in 2023, you will have lower costs and you will have sustainable costs, meaning the impact on fuel oil, on oil energy is reduced at least 25% and then 50%, so then we can have a more stable rate system in the world. Next. Lower energy costs, again, throughout the LEAC. The LEAC, that's 0.60868. That's going to be that way for, actually, if everything rolls out and approved by the PUC for 14 months. In one period of time, we held the LEAC at its highest point, at 15 cents for over 1 year, almost 2 years. And again, just trying to help the customer in terms of mitigating the impact of fuel oil costs, even though we didn't have any control over fuel oil costs. So again, we've also worked on the, and again, if you look at our kilowatt hour costs, we're really the lowest within all the Pacific area and a lot of the islands, so in the Virgin Islands and other areas. LED, street lights, we're almost there. Where everything which you got now is all being turned to LED, is going to save about $1 million a year for the community. Financial consultancy, again, despite the 3 and 4 explosion typhoons, the pandemic, the issue about the island's revenue loss because of the strong tax, despite all of that, we've come through with the credit rating agencies as stable or improved in credit rating. So again, that's showing the resiliency of the financial institution. Cost savings, again, our O&M budget is always coming in below our target. I know that all these years we've taken over Tennis, that plan, we've ran out of $6 million a year, we're operating it for less than $1 million now. The 8 and 9 ownership turnover, and so we can negotiate for 5 years. Eliminating the capital investment part goes away at $15 million. However, at least we're able to get the plan still operating continuously for 5 more years. This new building in itself being completed, all the operation has its own direct and indirect savings. The robotic process that recently is being used also. Our labor has gone from 512 to 445 over the past several years. So we've been trying to right size the company in many ways. Network, this is something in the works right now. We're studying, we have a group consultants studying the network of power and water so that we can get to one system that will be beneficial or reduce costs. So we'll have a report in that very soon. shortly. But again, that's leading towards the longer towards more savings in the future. Next, CIP, again, the new FAR plan, we found the land that substantially lowered costs for investment. And again, financing insurance, we refinanced the bonds, saving $500,000 a year. We gave $1 million of that to the ESM for our older customers, and about $500 was provided to DOE. The insurance premium at once came down about a couple million that 1 year as a result of the air, you know, a lot better, but of course our vice chair, Mr. Santos. The settlement of the Cabers 3 and 4, out of nothing, we got $125 million that would be used for the future part that I think would be useful for our customers. Next. Succession planning, we continue to work. The 50% of our workforce will be retiring, so we've been implementing apprenticeship programs and doing other things to make that happen. And again, our pool is very strong. We have 45 engineers, of which 14 are professional engineers, and a lot of certification between companies. But this is all an indication of the construction training and maintaining high credibility within the workforce. Next. Compensation strategy, we continue to work upwards towards the goals of the commission, which is 50% at some point. And again, we're doing it in a way so that it doesn't impact the rights of the customers. And again, there's a lot of awards and recognitions that were provided to power, always within the first and third place in the safety award of the American Public Power Association. Sorry that we don't only talk about safety, we do act safely. And again, we've done other things, mutually aid to the CNNI, and also being a part of the board for the American Public Power for the past 5 years. Thanks. Energy and renovation. In the community, again, we've been, electric vehicles are online, we're working with models. We've been helping DOE over $2 million in grants that we received for them to convert the schools to LED. We did the $500,000 to the Carpenter School for energy efficiency pilot program. And again, the energy storage battery that is we're targeting to be on the line by January for next year. Next. So again, these are in terms of the environment. The new power plant will significantly clean the environment, getting rid of the oil pool, which we've been burning since 1955 from the island. We use wastewater from the northern water treatment so that we don't tax the aquifer. On the commissioning of the Cabers 1, 2, and 3, and 4, we eliminate thermal pollution that has been occurring since, way back since 55, actually. Next. Again, the renewable strategy continues, and you've heard this many times. We will have a roadmap to 50% renewable EU by mid-2021, so by around June. The integrated resource plan will be before you to decide how do we get to 50% by 2021. So a lot of work has been done in that. Yeah. Island partnerships, again, continuing with the mayors, the longer financing, we assisted DOE in many ways, UOG in providing an energy building sense, GMH in their final Department of Risking and their generators. And again, other different programs, including we continue to work with the military in helping them how to have energy efficiency programs through the utility partnership. Again, we're an active member of the American Public Power. I'm a board member for Region 10. And again, we have many partnerships with many, the U.S. Department of Interior and others. And, again, being a part of research to help make the utility better. Last but not least, again, for 4 months, we helped the CNMI recover from Typhoon Yutu. And again, that was another cost of $6 million, which we got reimbursed, completely reimbursed for resulting matching labor savings to the ratepayers. And this is for 2020 plus, meaning I'd say 2021 and forward. Again, these are the different initiatives that we'll be working on in 2021 and we'll continue to work towards. And again, all related to the strategic plan and workforce. So this is something that, you know, I'd like to bring to you or would like direction from the commission in, say, by January or in January. So then again, we'll focus it to further the, you know, what are the key issues and concerns that the commission would like to see improve or achieve over the coming periods of time. So that is the general presentation.
Okay.
There is the annual report, and there is the extension report that we have on the people who are
due.
However, that's a matter of record as to, you know, the things that and what is going on there.
Okay. We'll go back to the rating sheet, and we need you to work with us on this. And on each one of these KPIs, we need you to rate yourself and then.
And John, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to repeat, John, the rating scale we're using is a 5-point scale. You can be rated from 1 to 5. You don't need to be rated. In your case, you don't have to give yourself a full number. It's very close to the old school system of 5 is an A, but you can have an A plus and an A minus. You can have a B plus and a B and a B minus. So as you provide your scores to us, then we will take the same scale. But we want to make sure that you have the same understanding we have as to how we're going to score you. So if you give yourself a rating of 5, you're giving yourself a rating that your performance in this area that we will go through item by item. 5 is significantly exceeds expectations or outstanding. And if you rate yourself a 5, you have to give a specific example or examples of why you significantly exceeded expectation and why you give yourself a rating of outstanding. A rating of 4 is exceeds expectations, above satisfactory. A rating of 3 is meets expectations, satisfactory performance. A rating of 2 is inconsistently meets expectations, marginal. And a rating of 1 is fails to meet expectations, unsatisfactory. You will be judged. 30% of your score will be from managing operations. 15% of your score will be managing finance. 15% of your score will be managing people. 10% of your score will be managing information. That's 70%, and then 30% of your score is personal competencies, which looks at strategic perspective, building teams, communication, information search, achievement focus, and judgment. Each of those are 5% that total up to 30%. And in this section, actually, we have a commission really just do the scoring.
Yes.
It's our judgment of you. So the 70% that you're going to go through with us, that's more empirical. It's more based on what you've just presented and how much you rate yourself. And then after that, then the commission will take over and rate you on its own. Are there any questions to how the rating system works, John?
No, there's no questions to how it works. I just got used to rating myself, so I will just say,
we understand that.
I will just say, rate me at 3, and we'll call it a debt. I can tell you that I rate myself an A when it comes to effort.
Okay.
Really trying to do the best that I could to save the utility and make it the best utility that it can be. As far as anything else, really, you know, that all flows from that. And it's hard for me to...
We understand, John, but...
That's why I present what I have, and it really depends on the, you know, your satisfaction with the idea, achieve what you think some measure of what you have, but other than that, I'm just going to rate myself. I'll just say whatever it is, 70%, whatever it is, middle ground average, I'm fine with that.
Well, John, I think you should think about that because a lot of what you put in here is very good. So it applies to these things. For example, lower fuel costs and energy. I think you should rate yourself. Well, Commissioner Fox.
Let me, because I'm going to empathize for John. Okay.
It's hard to do this.
No, but I think in Simon and I are probably more used to this because we come from a private sector world,
right.
Where we're evaluated by our, sometimes our partners, but more importantly, a board. Okay, and which is us, right?
Right.
And for the most part, Mr. Chairman and. You, Judy, being professional,
yes.
This metric that we're using here, for example, is not a typical one that Simon and I live in. Ours is profit driven,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, and goal oriented driven.
Right.
It's not. This is not the perfect example or perfect world that this utility lives in.
Right.
Okay, John said it clearly. That we wanted him to provide reliable power at the most,
the
lowest possible rate that we can give the ratepayers.
Right.
You're right, Chairman Duenas. You know, you're shortchanging yourself, John B., because you're not a 3.
You're not.
You're certainly better than a 4, and in some cases, I can speak for yourself because we were there. For example, in the insurance claim, he made the final decision,
yeah.
John B., because in the end, all Simon and I did was, we can accept the financial reward, but is this enough to guarantee that the utility is going to stand up? And there was no possible way that we could have made that decision without John B. being there.
So I mean,
we can cite a lot of things, Chairman, Commissioner Sanchez, that he doesn't have to come here and tout it to us.
Yeah.
That will give him, you know, in his opinion, it's not a 3, John, for us. Mm-hmm. How would you say that? Safely. Yeah.
And I totally agree with Commissioner Santos. And John, this is a new dynamic process for us, right? Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've been very formal, very detailed in what we're looking for in terms of performance. And in compliance with the law, we're now evaluating you in public. And you have just presented to us in the last 20 minutes many pieces that are part of your evaluation.
Yep.
And with that broad background, I invite you to reconsider just a blanket assessment. And it does help us to, as we've learned with the other evaluations, sometimes you might think you're a 4 here and a 3 here, and we want to appreciate why you draw that distinction. And if you think you're a 5, in fairness to you and all of our employees, if you think you've done an outstanding job, we want you to tell us that, because it may affect us. We may agree with you and give you that 5. That's so if you would bear with us this first time, we'll go down through this. I think you'll find that all the categories that were in your presentation are touched upon somewhere in this evaluation. If you still want to give yourself a 3, that's up to you. We then will take over and do the ultimate ruling. But if you would just work with us this on this process, and let's just go down item by item in the same way we've evaluated all the other colleagues, and we will evaluate Mr. Verdallo after you. Bear with us and work with us on this process, and just tell us your honest assessment of your own, how you felt you did in the last few years. Based on your summary and yeah, pretty much based on your summary.
Yeah.
Well, I can
So we'll go down at one.
Thank you for understanding that this
You find it awkward, yes.
I find it very awkward.
Yeah, okay.
And to me, in terms of my evaluation, to me, the number doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is
the results.
The group that I work with, or my bosses, or if you will, you know, are appreciate or understand that, you know, I've done my best, and my best is really, you know, better than what others could have done.
So give yourself that higher number.
Yeah. I can.